OTC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people.
On RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Friday night, the 15th of March. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
I'm excited. It's St. Paddy's Day weekend.
Big deal.
Well, I got a little Irish in me, and I got a lot of Scottish in me. And a lot of people don't know it, but St. Patrick wasn't Irish. He was Scottish. He was kidnapped by the Irish.
I have Irish little tiny bit in my blood from my mother's side, involving in-laws also. But St. Paddy's Day is all about drinking, and remember, I'm someone that's never had a drink in my life.
It's not all about drinking. It's also about eating, and I've got a big old corned beef waiting for me to put it in on Sunday morning, and some cabbage and some veggies. It'll be good.
Okay. And I don't want our listeners to think when I said I've never had a drink in my life. No, that's true. But it's not because I am against alcohol or people having drinks or anything like that. It's very briefly, it's a pledge I took when I was in 10th grade, and I have held to it to this day.
And I think that's admirable. Now, I can tell you one time when I was doing radio in Lincoln, Nebraska, on St. Paddy's Day, which, I don't know, it was in the middle of the week sometime, we called a pub in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, I think you told me this.
And it was rowdy. It was rowdy. You could hear all sorts of stuff going on in the background. And we're talking to this guy for, I don't know, 10 minutes. And I asked him, I said, you know, how long have you owned that pub? And he said, oh, I don't own it. I'm just sitting here drinking. He heard the phone ring. He just reached over and picked it up.
He picked it up. Oh, wow.
So, you know, it is what it is. Folks, we got some interesting stuff on tap for you tonight. Let's jump right into it. The decision in the Fannie Willis situation came in, and while I don't personally think it's the right decision, it should not come as a shock to people that have been paying attention.
No, but I am going to go on the record here and now and say, I said since day one, they might have little things slapped at them like improprieties, but I said since day one, nothing is going to happen to these two characters. And I said it's because the judge is a liberal. And I am 100% this McCaffrey, this Judge McCaffrey, this ruling is a joke. Both of them should have been fired immediately. They should have been hit with whatever fines are involved in these kind of legal matters. They should be out of their jobs. And they seriously should be looked into for not only lying, but possibly having their law licenses taken away. And as far as this judge, first of all, what he did, he didn't do Trump any favors because the case also should have been dismissed. It's not. It can still go forward. Now that Wade has resigned, Fannie Willis is free to do what she's been doing. This judge, in case people don't know, is up for re-election. He is playing to his Democrat audience because how dare, not only would he fire a black woman, but a black man as well. Atlanta, with the demographics of Atlanta, he gave this ruling, in my opinion, to play to Atlanta's black community so he could get reelected again. I have no respect for this judge, and I said it before this ruling was ever handed down.
I think this ruling is the wrong ruling, okay? For every reason you said, okay, I 100% agree with you. But it should not come as a shock to anybody that's been paying attention. You know, I mean, this is how these liberal courts operate, and it's unfortunate, and it's wrong, to be perfectly honest with you. But this is how they operate. Now, here's the deal. He said Fannie can stay on the case if Wade gets fired. Okay, but if Wade doesn't get fired, they're both out of there. Okay, so that's playing the ultimate middle ground, right? Well, a couple hours after the decision came down this morning, Wade resigned. Nathan Wade sent his letter of resignation to Fannie Willis, okay? And Fannie accepted it and sent a letter back. Now, both of those letters have been made public. When you read the resignation letter and then you read Fannie Willis fawning over Nathan Wade while accepting his resignation, it's about enough to make you sick because you know those two colluded in writing those two letters.
Of course.
And Nathan Wade, who waded into Willis's Fannie, and that's what this is all about, he said he's resigning to help preserve democracy.
Oh, please. That's their thing for everything. They throw the word democracy around like it's... How's your day?
And
they don't really know what a democracy is or isn't.
In her response, Fannie Willis fawned over Nathan Wade and, you know, what a great prosecutor he is. This guy has never prosecuted a felony in his life.
Right.
I mean, you know, this whole thing was a put-up deal. This whole thing today was a put-up deal. Now, here's where it gets even more interesting. Trump's attorney team, they can appeal this judge's ruling. And I said a couple of weeks ago when this, you know, when this went to the judge and it was going to take him a couple of weeks to sort it all out, I said, really, it doesn't matter how he rules because either way it goes, the other side is going to put up an appeal. And I fully expect the Trump legal team to put up an appeal on this. Now, the judge, I think, made a glaring error in his written ruling on this. And in that ruling, he said that Fannie Willis... There are a lot of unanswered questions regarding Fannie Willis. Now, when he says that, that opens the door to a lot of other legal tactics the Trump team can take. Because not only is the judge up for election, so's Fannie Willis. Okay? There are any number of different things the Trump team can bring to bear now. They can file federal charges against her because the judge literally said there are unanswered questions regarding her. Mm-hmm. So federal charges could be filed. The state of Georgia could file and take action. The Senate in Georgia could take action. The governor of Georgia could actually replace her in this case. So the ruling by the judge today and Nathan Wade's resignation certainly does not alleviate all the issues that could be coming down on Fannie Willis. We'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, well, nothing is going to happen. They're not going to touch a black woman. It's time we realize what has happened in this country. 12.8% of the population now dictates to the rest of us.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Here's the other issue involved in this is that the jury could now very well be tainted by all of this.
Well, they'll call for a different jury, that's all.
Well, that means they're going to have to start over.
They'll start over. You don't think she's going to give this up. This is stuck in her
craw. Of course not.
She wants Trump. This is a witch hunt. And now this judge, by this ruling, which was highly improper and unethical in its own right, because here it is in his ruling, and if you read the entire ruling, folks, he chastised her left and right, but nothing's being done to her. She's free to go on what she wants to do.
I mean, that's the most bizarre part of it. He rakes her over the coals, up one side and down the other, and then does nothing.
Nothing. Not even a reprimand in her file. Nothing.
This is bizarre.
Case. This judge is playing to the black vote and doesn't want it on his record that he admonished, took action against a black woman attorney. I'm sorry. This case is a perfect example of racism in reverse.
I agree. Now, here's the other interesting element in all of this. A couple of days ago, the same judge threw out, I think it was 6 different charges, 3 of them directly related to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they were improperly filed. So here you've got the DA, Fannie Willis, she improperly filed stuff related to the case that a first-year law student should have known better. Okay? So if Fannie Willis continues with this, and I believe, like you, she will, mm-hmm. will she try to reinstitute those charges that the judge threw out? Because if she does, she's going to have to seat a whole new grand jury and start over.
She's not going to care. She she's not going to care.
Of this,
she's focused on taking down Trump. That is her goal.
I get it. Also part of that goal is getting him convicted before the election. All of this stuff is going to eat up time. If she goes back and tries to refile and seat a whole new grand jury and start from scratch, with Wade thrown out, it's conceivable that everything he worked on has to be redone, too.
But you don't realize they can expedite this at will.
Not with appeals and everything else. So this is all going to eat up time. And
even with appeals, they could order it to be expedited.
Yeah,
it happens all the time.
Yeah, we'll see. This case never should have been brought to begin with.
Agreed.
It's a BS case.
Right.
You know, but there it is. under the guise of racketeering? Really?
Yeah. The RICO charge on this is a joke to begin with. This is not a RICO case when you know what RICO really is. This does not really meet those qualifications.
It doesn't even come close.
No. This is a witch hunt. This is a perfect example of a witch hunt, a political witch hunt.
Yep. So it's going to be interesting now to see how Trump's legal team reacts to what happened today. It's going to be interesting to see what Fannie Willis decides to do with the charges that were thrown out. You know, anybody who thinks that today's ruling is the end of this story is sadly mistaken.
True.
This little soap opera is going to continue.
And I got news for you, something else that's going to continue. The little romance between the two.
Oh, I guarantee you they came up with his letter of resignation and her acceptance while they were discussing legal briefs in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
They were debriefing each other in the middle of the night. Read into that whatever you like, folks. Next, we need to talk about the situation that is decaying rapidly in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
This situation is absurd to begin with, but making it more absurd is Joe Biden's reaction to it. Basically, in a nutshell, what has happened in Haiti is the government in Haiti has been overthrown by a gang of street thugs led by somebody whose nickname is Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there are those in Haiti that say he got that nickname because he burns people alive.
That are
his enemies. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how true that is, nobody really knows, but that's what they're saying. So now, a street gang, Haiti's equivalent, let's say, to a Mexican drug cartel, okay, they are now controlling the country. And Joe Biden, in all the wisdom he possesses, has sent them $300 million. He has given $300 million to a gang of street thugs in Haiti.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of side information that probably people don't know at this point. Haiti is pretty close to Florida. I believe it's about 185, 190 miles off the coast. Well, today, our great governor, Ron DeSantis, announced that state law enforcement here in Florida had intercepted a vessel coming to the Florida coast from Haiti, carrying dozens and dozens of Haitian illegals with firearms, drugs, and night vision gear. When they landed and it was near the Sebastian Inlet, Florida Fish and Wildlife officers took the vessel, turned over the illegals. They were deported immediately.
God.
Okay. This is how you deal with these kind of people. The good people of Haiti. And Miami has what's called a community called Little Haiti. The good people of Haiti, they left years ago when all this trouble started. And they've built a pretty thriving community in Miami-Dade County. These people that are coming here now, these are thugs, criminals, talk about inciters. These are not the best people.
No.
DeSantis is not allowing them here. They're caught, they're deported. This should be a lesson for the southern border as well, how you handle something. And I'm not talking a lesson to Abbott. He knows damn well. I'm talking to Biden and crew.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, okay, folks, you will remember, what's it been, about 14 years since they had that devastating earthquake down there in Haiti?
Yeah, when you mean the Clinton Foundation sent over all that money and appropriated it for themselves?
Billions and billions of dollars have been sent to Haiti over the past 14 years. And I'm talking not only Clinton Foundation money, but I'm talking about U.S. taxpayer dollars. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have been sent to Haiti. And almost none of it ever got to the Haitian people. And the reason for that is their government is completely corrupt.
Completely and totally. Haiti has been unstable, Craig, for decades and decades. They have had so much money poured into them, and it's still basically one giant slum.
Well, you know, people have been chastised for calling Haiti a shithole. But I don't know what else you'd call it and be accurate. Okay, no. But when you know, the government there is so corrupt, they kept all the money. Clinton, you know, for all the world, it looked like the Clinton Foundation was getting kickbacks from it. And, you know, you've got all this going on, totally corrupt government, siphoning billions and billions and billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars. Okay, well, that's the government that got overthrown.
Right.
Okay, they've been overthrown by what is essentially a Haitian drug cartel, and now we're sending them millions of dollars. What the hell is going on? All this money we sent over the past 14 years was supposed to make Haiti better and stabilize it and help remove the corruption from Haiti's government. It did none of that, not one lick of it.
No. Basically, Haiti is in an undeclared civil war. It's gang violence, it's corrupt officials. But here's something else I wanted to finish about what's happening here in Florida. Because of this, it's directly related. Again, the border. Abbott knows this, so I'm not speaking to Abbott. Biden and crew need to listen up. Governor DeSantis has now sent over 250 additional soldiers and officers along Florida's coast, as well as aircraft and boats, to protect the state from any of them coming via vessels, illegals, into the state of Florida. This is a lesson how to stop what's happening in Texas at the border. Governor Abbott tries to do the best he can. But that maybe the Texas National Guard needs to be fully armed at the border.
Well, I agree with that. And I'll tell you something else. These Haitians that aren't getting through in Florida are going to turn around and go to Mexico and come across the southern border. And the Biden regime is going to do nothing to stop them. Nothing.
Of course. They might try to get back here, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work. This, Haiti should be a lesson. We've got unrest, you know, on our own borders now. We got it from Mexico. Now we have it from Haiti. We need to send a strong message. We're not taking this crap anymore. But of course, that will never happen from Biden and crew. They,
absolutely,
you know, have laid out the welcome mat and screw Americans. These are our future voters. That's what it's all about. And it's time that Black Americans understand that they have been thrown under the bus for illegals.
100%.
And maybe come November, instead of pulling that Democrat lever, you go to the right and you pull the Republican lever.
Can I ask what I think is probably a rhetorical question?
Yeah.
Haiti is less than 200 miles.
Mm-hmm.
From our border,
mm-hmm.
you know, from Florida, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yet, this whole thing that devolved into total chaos in Haiti happened about a week ago.
Right.
Why didn't our CIA see it coming?
They might have and ignored it.
There you go.
Because this unrest has been going on in the capital, Port-au-Prince, for months and months and months. This isn't something that happened overnight.
And if you think, folks, that this is just a minor dust-up, Port-au-Prince is the capital of Haiti, and the streets of Port-au-Prince are on fire and littered with dead bodies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a vicious gang that has taken over, every bit as corrupt as the government was.
Right.
Okay. But all of this doesn't happen in a vacuum. Okay. Why had we heard nothing, seemingly no chatter about any of this? The CIA is acting like they were totally unaware that the whole situation down there was about to boil over. How could you know anything about Haiti and not know it was a flashpoint?
They knew. They knew all along. And this is all a way for more illegals to come here, cause trouble here. When people have not understood the bottom line here. This administration is anti-American, in my opinion. 100% anti-American.
They
are itching for the fundamental transformation of this country, and they will strive for it by any means possible, including the illegals.
You know, now, I realize there are probably still some good people in Haiti.
Of course. Of course.
But with the situation as it is down there, how do you vet the good from the bad? You can't at this point. It's total chaos down there. There is no way to vet them. Now, that's something that I believe this liberal regime in Washington is counting on. And they're going to say, well, it's a humanitarian crisis. We have to let them in. We have to expedite them coming in. No, you don't. No, you don't. This situation is the prime example of why you have to vet people that are coming into this country. And if it causes good people to die in Haiti, well, so be it. But, you know, and I know that's kind of a harsh thing to say, but at this point, our government will let everybody into this country, and they won't vet anyone.
Well, the boat with the ones carrying the drugs and the guns and the night vision goggles, it was all young men.
Well, go figure. There's a super surprise.
This is absolutely ridiculous. You know what? Let Haiti burn itself out.
Kind of where I'm at.
They're going to end up killing each other, all of them.
You know, I can't...
Keep it over there. We don't need it here.
I can't see why we're sending them millions of dollars. We shouldn't be sending them one red cent.
No.
But
we're holding up money to Israel.
Well, yeah, so we got that going for us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're holding that up, but we're sending to a country that's really ready to implode from within.
Yeah,
and the bodies are littering the streets. This isn't going to end well in Haiti. But we don't need them coming here. These are not the people that will help our country. These are people bringing guns, night vision goggles. What does that tell you that these people are? Terrorists in their own right.
100%. I mean, as far as I'm concerned at this point, Haiti can become Lord of the Flies.
Yeah. Yeah. They might be better off than they are now.
Let me ask you in the minute or so we have left in this segment, what's the situation with the Dominican Republic? Because they're literally next door.
Totally, completely, 100%, like night and day. They have thriving industry there. They have peace there. It's a big honeymoon destination. we knew somebody who was one of the huge landowners in the Dominican Republic. And I mean huge, huge, huge. And it is a beautiful country. They are peaceful. They cannot stand Haiti. They have along their border what I call and what Israel calls a security envelope. It's like they're separate from them.
Well, then I guess there's the answer. Okay. Yeah. If we're going to do anything regarding Haiti, we should just clear it out and turn it over to the Dominican Republic. I mean, for God's sakes, you know, Haiti, I mean, you've got, you know, a South Atlantic paradise living right next door to a South Atlantic shithole.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. And it's not that people and countries haven't tried to aid Haiti. For generations, money's been going into Haiti. It's been taken by the government. It's been misappropriated. It's been, you know, thrown away. You can't help people that don't want to help themselves. That's the problem.
In a budget situation, Haiti is a hole in our bottom line we have been trying to fill with money for decades.
Right.
It's time for that to end.
It's a waste. It's a waste. The mindset of the Haitians that are there now, very different than the Haitians who left. The Haitians that left were the professionals, the doctors, the lawyers, right, the businessmen. They left well over a decade ago. Those people are more than welcome. They contribute to this country. But this scum that's there now, these gangs overtaking the streets, we don't need this crap here, nor do we have to take this crap here. The problem is the Biden administration doesn't bother to read the Constitution because nowhere will it say we have to take humanity's garbage.
Right. And with that, we've hit the bottom of the hour. That means we got to take a quick break. But when we come back, we've got another couple of great topics, so you don't want to miss out. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after that.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori getting you through a Friday night edition of the show. And if you miss any part of it, all you need to do is go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button. This show in its entirety and all the others going to be sitting there waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they will.
Okay, Diane, here's the next question that's sure to light your hair on fire. Been to the gas station lately?
$4.85 a gallon. I sure have.
Yikes. You know, usually it doesn't go up until you get right about to the Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
You know, because they know people are going to start traveling. It's the beginning, you know, unofficial beginning of summer, the summer season anyway. And, you know, people have driving vacations. They're going to go here and there. And, you know, traditionally gas prices tick up a little bit. This year, they started going up several weeks ago, and they don't show any signs of slowing down.
Right. And I'll say the $4.85, that is for high test. It's not for regular. But the regular is inching up at the four and a little bit over down here in Florida as well. But what this amounts to, this happened when on Sunday OPEC countries announced that they were canceling the extending oil petroleum cuts. And that put upward pressure on oil and gas prices. Not that they were canceling it, they were continuing it, I should say, to extend the oil production cuts. You cut the amount of oil, you automatically have to raise the prices.
It's a matter of supply and demand. It's the
exactly.
oldest capitalist story in the world. It's a matter of supply and demand.
Right.
Less supply, high demand, higher prices.
Okay? Right.
You know, there was a time not so long ago we were exporting more energy than we were taking in. Not so much right. anymore, because OPEC knows they now, thanks to Biden, have us over the proverbial oil barrel.
Yeah. Well, if you want to put this into even more perspective, the cost of a gallon of gas is now about 9% higher than it was a month ago, and it's near the highest level since last November, holiday season, when everything goes up. We're now 9% higher than we were even then.
And like I said, it doesn't show any signs of letting up. These prices are going to continue to go up. And like right. I said earlier, you usually see the price go up right at the beginning of the summer travel season, which is Memorial Day weekend. Well, if they're mm-hmm. going up the way they're going up now, what do you think it's going to be when we get to Memorial Day weekend?
It's going to be a disaster, is what it's going to be. Actually, they're saying that historically, March and April, you start seeing them going up. But it's been quite a number of years since we've seen it go up this early.
And this fast.
And this fast. I mean, every week you go and it's like 5 cents more a gallon, 10 cents more a gallon. You have cars that carry a lot of gallons. You're talking about a lot of money here.
Right. You know, and I'm not driving a Hummer by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, my little van, you know, I'm going to have to go to the gas station tomorrow and mm-hmm. I got to put a half a tank in, and that's going to hurt. You know, I usually don't let it get, you know, I usually don't burn off maybe more than about a quarter of a tank before I fill it up. Yeah, and I know it's a numbers game and it's an illusion because I'm putting gas in more often, but each time I put it in, it doesn't cost as much. But I'll be damned if I'm going to let that thing get down past half because, you know, it just galls me to dump $100 into my gas tank.
Well, try to have to use high test in your cars.
Well, you know, luckily I don't have to. I can put it in there. Not at these prices.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just kind of a foregone conclusion. You know, I was thinking about getting gas when I was in town yesterday, but I didn't because I went to the grocery store and I couldn't stomach doing both those things on the same day. I just couldn't take it.
It seems like every time, every week when we go to Publix and buy basically the same things, it's like $10, $15, $20 more every week. It's getting out of, you know, out of hand. Yeah. It really is getting out of hand. But you have to do what you have to do. You have to eat.
Yeah.
You have to feed your animals.
Yeah.
Your children. I mean,
yeah, you know.
Your spousal units. I mean,
you do what you do.
We have $300 million to send to Haiti.
Yeah. Yeah, to a bunch of street thugs and gangs and drug lords.
Yeah, why don't you use that money, Biden, to help lower the costs for Americans?
You know, I mean, good Lord, deregulate some crap so that, you know, the supply chain can loosen up a little bit and help everybody out. But, you know, the fact that gas is going up the way it is, the fact that groceries are going up the way groceries are going up, and pretty much anything you buy is at a higher price. Now, you know, Biden can tout Bidenomics all he wants. He can go out there and he can, you know, tell six people that come to one of his rallies. And I don't, can you really call it a rally if it's only half a dozen people there? I don't know. But he can tell them that, you know, inflation's down and wages are up. The problem is inflation's still high.
Yeah.
And it's outpacing wages. So the American people have less and less money. With the gas situation, the grocery situation, and everything else economically, this is not good for the outfit that's in charge trying to run for re-election.
Well, it's well. I think maybe I'll bring this up next week, Craig. I don't think it's going to matter.
Well, it may not. But traditionally, when people's bank accounts are hurting, especially to this extent, it does not bode well for the party in power. And
except when they've locked onto one issue and is not going to let it go.
And I'm going to deal with that next week.
Right. That's why I don't want to say too much. But when you are locked on to one issue,
I understand.
You've got a certain segment of the population right behind you. Sometimes the things that should matter, the economy, et cetera, get put on the back burner.
Well, and that's definitely happening. Okay, and we're going to deal with that next week. Okay, but here's what I'm saying. Biden's going out there in public. He's going to these swing states, right? And he's telling these people how much better off they are now than they were 4 years ago. And they're looking at him like, what are you talking about? Because they know they're not better off now than they were 4 years ago. But he's out there lying to them. Did you see, by the way, did you see the video of him? I think he was in... Oh, is it Pennsylvania? Somewhere he was wandering down the street, down the sidewalk by himself in the rain, and two people had to come up to him and hold umbrellas over him. You know, now I don't know the context of it, and his handlers and the Secret Service, they weren't flanking him as they always do. But when was the last time you saw anybody who occupies the Oval Office walking down a sidewalk with not a soul in sight?
That's called a photo op.
Well, that's
out just to get the photographs.
Yeah, but I mean, ostensibly 81 million people voted for this clown.
Yeah.
Right? And he can walk down a sidewalk in the rain and there's only two people that notice him? That's pretty damn sad.
Well, you know what's also pretty damn sad? They Democrats put out a list of ways to save on gas prices.
Oh, good. This ought to be great.
Okay. You got your usual ones, pay with cash instead of a credit card. Well, guess what? Thanks to Biden's economic policies, people don't have ready cash on them all the time.
People are buying groceries on credit cards. That's how much cash people have.
Yes. The other one is to join a grocery store rewards program. How many grocery stores do you know have gas stations with them?
Well, now when let me answer these one at a time, okay? When I lived in Arizona, you could find those gas stations everywhere.
Okay.
I don't live in Arizona anymore. I'm in North Central Nebraska, and right now we can honestly say here that so far we're pretty happy with the progress of indoor plumbing.
Okay. Yes. Okay, let's move on from indoor plumbing.
Well, I'm just saying there are no gas stations where you can get rewards for gas here.
Okay. This is another one of their ideas to save, gas. Drive patiently. Now tell me how that's going to save gas.
Well, I guess if you don't do jackrabbit starts and stops, you're saving a couple of drops.
Okay. Spend less time idling. Really? Their traffic. So suddenly, what are you going to just stop your car in the middle of a highway? Please.
And shut it off?
And shut it off. Okay. Reduce your AC use. Real good advice for people who live in the South as it's starting to heat up for the summer. Okay. This one makes no sense. Park in the right spot.
What?
Yeah, I don't get that one. Park in the right spot. I'm reading off their stupid list.
What's the wrong spot that costs you more gas?
I don't know.
Never heard of such a thing.
Here's another one. Remove excess vehicle weight. You mean you're supposed to open a door and throw a passenger out?
I mean this
is insanity. Seriously. This is insanity.
How about we just drill a bunch of holes and start refining our own oil into gas? How about that?
Up the fracking, do everything we can, go back to being energy independent. Look, whether you like Trump or dislike Trump, and I'm speaking to the never Trumpers here, even you have to admit our economy was great. We were energy independent. Prices were reasonable. Even you guys have to admit that.
You would think.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure it matters to some people. Finally tonight, let's talk about West Point and ask the question, is West Point going woke?
Yes, but it's not in the sense of the way people think of woke. What the West Point Military Academy has done is they've removed the these words from their all-important mission statement. And the words are duty, honor, and country. Instead, they're replacing it with the words Army values. That's an insult to everyone in the Army, everyone who gave their life, everyone who attended West Point. This is a disgrace. What is wrong with duty, honor, and country? Who does that offend?
Well, I think I might be able to answer that.
I say that rhetorically, but go ahead.
Well, you know, when you do something for duty, honor, and country, there's a pretty good chance you're patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like patriots, the liberals. They don't like them. And when you look at the ilk of General Milli Vanilli and You know, some of these other clowns that are running our Defense Department right now, you know, they're more interested in systemic racism in the military, which doesn't exist, by the way.
Right.
Than they are about duty, honor, and country. You know, so when they say Army values, they're talking about woke values because the Army is going woke. You know, you look at the Army and you look at recruitment levels. Oh, my God. Yeah, we're going to be lucky to have a dozen soldiers in the Army after a few years of this. You know, right. Army values are going woke. You know, you, when you've got branches of the military utilizing enlisted drag queens to promote recruitment.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want people fighting for our current military's values. I mean, I see that as a problem. That's a red flag. When you take honor, you know, duty, honor, country, when you take those words out of it, when you take those words out of the equation, what's left? Why would anybody want to sign up to be a part of the military, part of the Army? Because we're, you know, we're obviously we're talking about West Point. That's the Army. Why would anybody want to sign up and be a part of the Army that doesn't have a clear-cut mission?
Right. And what they're doing with these three words, they're taking it out of their all-important mission statement, but they're saying it's still going to be how they describe themselves, basically. It's going to, in other words, it's going to remain the school motto. Well, there's a big difference between a motto and your mission statement. Huge difference. So now what they're saying, and the person who did it was Lieutenant General Steve Galland. What he said was, as a result of the assessment, meaning to change this, we recommended the following mission statement to our senior Army leadership, and this is going to be their new thing, to build, educate, train, and inspire the Corps of Cadets to be commissioned leaders of the character committed to by the Army values and ready for a lifetime service to the Army and nation.
Oh, okay.
All that mumbo jumble when it is summed up, duty, honor, and country.
What they're going to do is they're promising to further indoctrinate people.
Exactly.
Sign up to be a part of the Army and we will indoctrinate you so that you follow the indoctrination orders. That's what they're telling people.
I guess this Gillen, this Lieutenant General Steve Gillen, didn't really listen to the news this week because Putin announced that what his army is going to be doing is preparing in case there's a nuclear war. But our army here now is more concerned about a mission statement.
Looks, do you see a little bit of a problem there? I do.
There's a big problem here, folks. A real big problem.
We know the Navy's in trouble, too.
Oh, of course. Of course. And many critics and many higher generals and military and all branches, they're afraid that West Point's latest push is actually to push woke policies.
Absolutely it is. I don't think there's any question to that. If we allow our military to continue on this trajectory, we're not going to have a military. We're going to have the village people.
Yeah. Well, build, educate, and train. That's kind of code words for indoctrinate.
That's exactly what I said. That all they're telling you there is, come be a part of the Army, and we will indoctrinate you, and you will follow woke orders.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really this what it comes down to.
This is insanity. You know, we used to be the greatest military on the face of the earth. What are we now? We're becoming a laughing stock.
Well, our military used to have one basic objective if they were pressed into service, and that was kill people.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the closest we're going to be able to get to that is hoping they die laughing.
It's funny, but it's not funny. We are in very dire situation right now with Putin making a statement like he did. And if you don't believe me, you can Google it, folks. For him to make a statement like that, for the problems in Ukraine, for the problems in the Middle East, the problems in Africa, and you are worried about a mission statement, there's something horribly wrong here. And I can sum it up, the start of it all, Obama.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to trace it back very far to see how it started and where. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is just getting ridiculous at this point. Mm-hmm. Our enemies are not going to fear us. They're not going to fear our military.
I don't think they do now.
No, right now they're confused. You know, I mean, they're looking at our military going, what the hell's going on over there? You know, worse yet, our allies do not respect us. And our allies, thanks to Biden, thanks to what he did in Afghanistan, our allies know they can no longer count on us.
No, they can't. Look what Biden's doing to Israel, stabbing them right in the back, telling Israel, a sovereign nation, how to fight their war, what they can and cannot do.
Well, and then you got Chuckle Schumer yesterday comes out and says, you know, they need to get rid of Netanyahu. No, Netanyahu needs to stay. Chuckles, you're the one that needs to go.
Yeah, I mean, this world is upside down, topsy-turvy, and our army is worried about a mission statement. There's something wrong here, folks. Horribly wrong.
Keep going like this. It's not going to be long. They're going to be discussing what color of doilies to have in the tanks.
Yeah. I just got a visual picture of that.
I mean, you don't know how, you cadets out there that may be listening to this, you don't know how close you are to a court martial because you didn't use a coaster on the artillery weapons when you set down your fruity drinks.
Yeah. I mean, this is insanity. This nonsense has to stop. When woke is invading our military, these people that are play acting and pretending, and now they're going to fight for our country. They're not going to fight for anything.
No. They're terminally offended. They would never fight.
Right. You know? I mean, I just don't get it.
The idea here is to replace those who stand for honor, duty, and country with those who don't. Thankfully, exactly. Right now, we still have honor, duty, and country cadets at West Point.
Yes.
The idea is to weed them out through attrition to fundamentally change not only our country, but our military.
Right. Right. And I'm telling you, folks, ground zero, 2008, it started right there.
Right there. With that, Diane, you and I have run out of time for the show tonight.
Okay. And with that, say nighty night.
Folks, have yourselves a great weekend. Get a designated driver if you're going to go out and have fun on St. Paddy's Day, but make it a great weekend. We'll catch up with you again on Tuesday. Bye-bye.